So my name is Ginger Malcolm, and I'm a person in long-term recovery and I'm also a certified alcohol and drug counselor and a substance abuse counselor from the state of North Carolina and in the state of Georgia. And I am a North Carolina peer support specialist for syringe exchange at NEPA, which is Needle Exchange Program at ASL. NEPA is located inside of WNCAP, and it's an entity inside of itself. It's WNCAP is, you know, the Western North Carolina AIDS Project, but with in being that entity, they have a needle exchange because we so vastly discovered in the 80s that the spread of HIV as well as Hep C was coming into a new culture, and that culture was the IV drug culture. And so 20 years ago, Michael Harney, as you very well know, and his mentor started doing syringe exchange before it was even possible to do that, you know, and really changed the outcome of the community and some results for the people in our community. And but it's a vital asset to the community that we serve, which are, you know, IV drug users. And it's a place where you can be accepted, and it's a safe place where you can know that being a person in long-term recovery myself, I know that it's places like this that gave me what I was missing, that took me to my addiction, which was the loss of connection and the inability to connect with other people, the inability to feel self-worth and just being so lost and felt like nobody wanted anything to do with me and I was so unworthy, that it's places like this where people begin to love on you and treat you as though you're human that really matters. You know, I think we look so much, so deeply into chastising and ostracizing this community of substance use disorder. And, you know, the opposite of addiction is connection. And the thing about it is that my addiction was not my problem. And that's a really profound statement to say, because my addiction was my solution to extreme trauma and pain, to a human condition called trauma, and the inability to become resilient from that trauma from childhood and situations that had happened to me. So the only avenue that I had, that I felt remotely comfortable in taking, you know, where I ended up was caught in addiction. And there was a connection in that community of other people who used, a connection that I didn't have in the regular normal world because of trauma and things that had happened to me. 87% of all addiction stems from trauma, some form of trauma in some way, form, or fashion or another. And so it's when we begin to address those issues and understand that these are human beings that have experienced extreme emotional loss of connection and loss of self, and their solution has been to begin using, but they're still humans and they deserve the right to proper medical care. They deserve the right to be treated with proper mental health care and medical care so that they can process that trauma and find the recovery process. Being at WNCAP as a peer support specialist, and I'm embedded into WNCAP through October Road and via health. So I'm not an employee of WNCAP. I just work at that site to be able to facilitate an opportunity for people when they're ready to find change. And I've been able to refer 7 people to treatment or MAT treatment in the last 6 weeks that I've worked there. It's not just continuing to feed a cycle of addiction like the community seems to see. And a really profound thing I do want to say, though, is that there's there'll be an article in the newspaper or on Facebook or a community meeting because they found a needle in a, you know, or a couple of needles outside of a syringe exchange location or somewhere close to the homeless community. You know, there's been a lot of controversy over this in downtown Asheville and in Buncombe County. But what I want to say is nothing's being said about the 70,000 needles that have been retrieved from the community this past fiscal year. This month alone, this is the 28th day of the month of August, and I've already taken in over 13,000 needles returned, used needles returned for us to dispose of properly as biohazard waste. And so I think that's an important factor that needs to be looked at. You know, yes, it's a danger to our children, to our society to have syringes out there and needles out there. But it's also, I think, one thing gets blown way out of proportion and you lose the good that programs like WinCap and NEPA are able to facilitate. And that's a safe place for people to bring their needles without criminalization.
Would you go so far as to say that, you know, that the problem might be the other way around, that needle exchanges don't increase the amount of needles that you might find in the community, but they actually decrease that number?
Yeah, when they're brought back, we show that when they brought back to, if our program had not collected 13,000 needles today, I mean, in this month, where do you think they would be?
So hoping we can maybe take a step back a little bit then and talk about the strategy of having needle exchanges available to people in the community as a resource as part of this idea of harm reduction. Can you talk about why you think that's important?
Well, it's proven to work. You know, there's quotes and statements with the North Carolina Harm Reduction and on their website from the safety officials and government official task force agencies and state and local police agencies that not only believe in syringe exchange, but have seen the benefits of it working. You know, it's not just about giving syringes to someone who you believe is an active addiction. The harm reduction piece comes from reducing the cases of HIV and Hep C. That's what's plastered all over the news. That's what we stand behind. But there's something far more greater than that that happens when we don't do a needle exchange. When and where an individual is capable of becoming in possession of needles because they don't know where they're going to get them from again, or if they're going to be able to go to the pharmacy again, they will continue to reuse the same needles over and over again. And when that happens, it causes endocarditis in the heart, which is a breakdown in the valve of the heart. In Mission Hospital alone this year, there has been a triplicate of people between the ages of 25 and 40 with endocarditis and no insurance. And that's from having to reuse needles, from not having supplies readily available to them, not being able to go to their local pharmacy and to buy syringes when they're willing to buy them. And so that instance, it cost roughly $20 a participant, about $160,000 a year to run a needle exchange, where it cost $200,000 and $300,000 to hospitalize somebody for the weeks that it takes for the infection of endocarditis to be gone long enough for them to have a heart valve replacement. And the majority of these people have no insurance. And so even, I mean, look at the numbers, and that's one individual, as well as with HIV. $160,000 a year to run a needle exchange, which is roughly $20 to $30 per participant per year, compared to $129,000 for one individual to receive medication and treatment for an HIV positive test result, like an HIV positive diagnosis.
Wow!
Someone who that's one person. It costs that much money for one person. And so where does that fall back on? you know, individuals with HIV and Hep C now, if they can't go into the workplace and they have to get disability or they have to get Medicaid or they have to get, you know, donated services to receive their medications that are so high, it falls back onto the community to be financially responsible for that. Wouldn't you rather invest your money in helping lower the risk of those factors rather than continuing to ostracize the theory? You know, it's not the work that we do that's really in question, because the numbers and the results are there. There's a lower risk of HIV here. The numbers for HIV in Ashland and Buncombe County are lower. There's been, you know, drastic decreases in Hep C. Like, the proof of the theory of the work that we do is there, but the it's being ostracized for the theory of what we do, not the actual production of what happens. Because they want the results that we get with the needle exchange. It's just, I believe that so many people have, and I don't want to attack anybody. I'm grateful for anyone that supports needle exchange. I'm grateful for anyone that believes that needle exchange needs to go into the health department. And I commend Haywood County Health Department, who is now allowing people to come in through the Harm Reduction Coalition and allowing them to be of service inside the Haywood County Public Health Department. That is a huge step and a model of what the public can help do to deal with some of these issues. These are public health issues, not criminalized issues. And so I don't want to attack, or I want to remain humble and gracious for anyone who believes in what we do, but I also want to bring attention to the fact that sometimes it's not about putting our own moral compass on the table. It's about the welfare of our community. And I think some people that are in legislation and that make decisions base their decisions on what their own judgments and their own moral compasses and what they believe is right or wrong for themselves, not looking at the community as a whole and how we protect the community, including the people that have been, and including the IV drug use community, including, the Hep C and HIV community.
So for folks who find themselves in a situation dealing with isolation and addiction, how would you direct them to utilize your services?
So being a person in long-term recovery gives me the ability to open up that door. Like, when they come through the exchange and they need supplies, and there's a lot of them that pick up pamphlets about recovery resources, but they don't have the money. They don't have the insurance to get into a program. They no longer want to use. They want to get on MAT treatment, which is medically assisted treatment, like Suboxone or methadone. But they don't even know how to do that, because they've lived in this mindset that there's no resources for them. No one's going to help them. And there's nothing they can do. So when those doors are open and I'm able to communicate with them that I've been where they've been, and that now as a counselor and a substance abuse counselor and working with October Road, I have the ability to facilitate the opportunity for recovery and for treatment. I've built relationships with people and other treatment centers here in the community that are willing to take people on scholarships, that are willing to help people get into MAT treatment, and October Road is always willing to facilitate a behavioral health assessment or anything that needs to do that falls in line with DSS criteria for people to get their children back. You know, October Road has an eating disorder unit. They have a MAT treatment unit. They have ongoing counseling. They have a PSYOP program, which is intensive outpatient substance abuse classes, just a plethora of things. And it's all about letting me know that you have a desire and me making a phone call. And I can usually get people in for an assessment the same day because of that relationship that we have to help facilitate the opportunity for change.
Where would you direct people who either want to utilize your services or to support your services?
to come talk to me. You can reach me anytime at 828-545-3063, ginger@wincap.org, or gmalcolm@octoberroadinc.net. And then I'm always on Facebook. I have a social media following, Ginger Stream the Dream, Harper Vincent. And I have a social media following where I talk about recovery and post things related to recovery. And anyone that's seeking treatment, like, I'm willing to help anyone. And that's not something I charge people for. I've been given the ability to advocate in the courtroom. I go into the courtrooms and I advocate for the recovery process. And I've never gone into a courtroom and asked for someone to be able to get help and been told no. That's how I used my credentials, was to advocate for other people, to give them the opportunity for recovery. But in the needle exchange program, if they're not ready, it's okay. Like, we're just here to love on them and to let them know that they are worthy and that they deserve to be treated with the same dignity and humanity as any other human does. And I'm always at WinCap from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. They can call me there. So I pretty much have always made myself openly available. I do a recovery podcast, North Carolina Recovery Always, NC Raw, that's on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts. So you can pretty much find me anywhere.
That's great.
And, and just to be accessible.
Well, my last question for you is, for people in the community who may not be experiencing addiction at this time, how can they show up to support the work that you're doing?
Okay, so the Opioid Awareness Day is tomorrow. Well, it's actually the 31st. Are y'all going? So on the 31st is Opioid Awareness at PAX Park at 5 p.m., which is just to honor, people who have actually died from opioid addiction, to bring into light the amount of people that are lost daily. You know, we lose the same amount of, about roughly 3,000 people across the United States a day to overdoses, which is the same amount of people that we lost in 911. And we lose those people daily to overdose. And so there's overdose and awareness events going on. There's also a Haywood recovery rally on September 8th from 10 to 2 at Lake Unalaska with free food, T-shirts. There'll be major speakers, judges, attorney generals, just very important people there that help make some of our legislation decisions. And it's always important to get involved in those things so that you have a voice. I'll be speaking at that event. The Night of Hope in Franklin, North Carolina is at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. So there's all kinds of events that are always going on in the community. You can always look at wincap.org for local events that are going on in our community, as well as there's another website I was going to tell you. And even October Road, anything that... any kind of event that where they're speaking about recovery or opioid awareness or addiction. There's also recovery messaging classes that are available in Cherokee and Swain County with Caleb McCoy and Caitlin Ledford. And Richie Tanner Hill does an amazing job with recovery messaging inside the churches and inside the community, allowing people to learn to use words that break the stigma, like substance use disorder instead of substance abuse. And just getting involved in your local community, showing up at WinCap, showing up at any treatment center. There's a multitude of treatment centers in Asheville, and just saying, can I volunteer? Is there a way that I can help? I want to give back to the community. I don't understand this, but I want to know more. You know, knowledge is power, and when we educate ourselves, everyone has some form of issue that they're dealing with. Addiction is not just about drug use. It's the workaholic. It's everywhere. It's the gambler. It's the shopping addict. It's the stay-at-home mom. Like, addiction comes in many, many forms. And it's how do we heal our people from the trauma of the past and the solutions that they found to deal with it today. You know, how do we find better solutions as a community to help people heal and to make a better community? And it takes just getting out there and saying, I'm here and I'm willing to help.
Well, Ginger, thank you so much for speaking with me today and for the work that you do in the community and for letting us know about how people can show up tomorrow and beyond. Thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time.